This is a Technology Icing presentation, and you're watching episode number 6 on automating the pocket-friendly way. What is automation? Most people would be thinking it's a new industrial fad. No, automation could be applied in day-to-day lives. For example, if you receive an email, you make an entry into Excel, and then you send the email to your boss at the end of the day with all the Excel entries. That is the most simplest job I can imagine one could do. Or there could be something like someone receives a phone call. They get an order to buy a stock or sell a stock, and they keep recording the entries in Excel, and then they make a trade and find out what's the current value and put it into a list of transactions in a tool and make a trade. Once that is done, they would get the performance from MSN or Yahoo by going to the web page, copying, pasting the quotes, and or maybe put it into a Google Sheet and use the Google Finance Excel functions and get the quotes and compute the performance and send the report or the contract note to a client. Or it could be as simple as sending a text message for a reservation once a reservation is done. You could have a lot of scenarios in even a shop where a product leaves the shop floor, enters the shop floor, and if your company is ISO certified, you may need to perform things like entry into registers, adding to the total stock volume, removing from the stock volume, and reflecting the same in your ERP system. So a lot of jobs are something, if you feel that there is some job which you have to do again and again, day in and day out, that could be a potential candidate for automation. Even while doing development, I've seen a lot of people, when they make a .NET project, they right click and publish from Visual Studio, copy the contents of the published and then paste it onto some server, start and stop IIS pool. Then, you know, they get the requirements in a system called Jira or Mingle from ThoughtWorks or Trello, and they move it from in progress to dev done or to test completed. And then they have to put it into some environment, and then they have to send an email to the stakeholders that, or maybe update in Jira stating that this has been done. And there are some people who even do a lot of manual things like, okay, check if everything is up and running in the morning, and then make a status entry in the register or in an Excel file and, you know, inform the stakeholders about the health of a system, enterprise, sensors. So a lot of things are done manually, and I think if you invest in some tools like UiPath or Automate Anywhere, they are quite expensive. So I will be explaining you on how to automate the pocket friendly ways, various scenarios that you could that you could automate in your day-to-day lives, in both development, normal work, and even with respect to ensuring that you don't get bored of your job on a day-to-day basis. The most simplest automation one could think of is using something like WebDriver with Selenium. And with that, what happens is people just open a web page, and then Selenium has commands to click to go to a specific website, click on something, then after that you do stuff on a web page, search for something, press enter, get the text elements. It's mostly done in Java, and or more recently NPM has a web driver and Selenium support. A more elegant option may be to use something like Puppeteer. And in Puppeteer, what happens is you would It would not open the web browser in front of you, because Selenium opens a web browser and Puppeteer will open it in the command. And then when you, if in Selenium, if you make your computer run some scripts, then you know it opens a web browser and it disturbs the user experience. And it's not very server friendly. Or maybe if suppose you have invested in a cheap command line in AWS or Windows, then you will not get a GUI with you. Then Puppeteer could do everything in command line. It opens a browser within the command line, and it's very low in RAM because it's not meant for the end users. And you could perform extremely simple tasks, like even it can even take a screenshot if you want, if you wish to. And generally, you create a page object, and then once you create the page object, you run some set of instructions on it, like click an element or even run JavaScript. And some of them even make API calls using request or HTTP client. I think when you have to automate something, your web browser should be your second option. It should not be your first option. If you what you could do is, when you go to a web page, you using Google Chrome, like for example MSN Money, they haven't published their API docs, but you can press Command Shift and I, search for a quote, you'll get a quote, and then you can see the historic prices, the current market value. You can press Command Shift and I and see the network tab if they're making a JSON request. So REST is nothing but a machine to machine communication where humans need not comprehend it. Then you don't have to open web pages. Just search if a specific service that you wish to automate has a REST API documents or not. Even for example, Jira, it exposes API so that you can create new tickets. Like for example, if you want to automate finding all the errors from your logs and then automatically creating tickets, it's possible because Jira has APIs. Or if you want to move or transition issues from dev in progress to dev done, deployed, all that is possible with Jira API. Every programming language also supports Selenium, and it's best if you use Puppeteer or PhantomJS. PhantomJS is a dead project, but that also offers very good browser automation tools. Now, what if you want to go beyond the browser? Like, I want to press the start button, open some file and do stuff on it. Then I think for you, you may have to rely on RoboJS. And RoboJS actually has things that enable you to... So RoboJS is run using Node.js. In Node.js, you can maybe file a request using Express, and then you can start a long-running RoboJS task where you just do npm install RoboJS, and you could like get the mouse position, find out the color where the mouse is there, and then once you get the hex color, you can find out, okay, you want to click on some gray element in some area of the screen. You could get a fixed screen size from one of the virtual machines you have, or you could even make it based on relative positioning of the mouse. You can send any keyboard command, you can press. So imagine you have a scenario where you press start, you open some task scheduler, and you click on stop task, or then you click on ready tasks. So these things, or if you have some custom application where suppose you your enterprise has given you an application to log the to track the vehicles, so you would have to press start, open the app, and then click on something, type on a search item with the consignment number. So all that can be automated using RoboJS. Now RoboJS should be your second option. If you want to automate Windows or Linux, you should try command line alternatives. For example, PowerShell. So you need not just restrict yourself to PowerShell. PowerShell can also run C# scripts. So the entire programming language of C# and the NuGet packages are available when you run PowerShell scripts. So PowerShell scripts can help you to get directory listing. If you run the command IWR, you can invoke a web request with some headers, make an API call. You can get hooks of the task schedulers. You can find out what, if you type PS, you can get a list of running processes, get child items for getting a list of running directories, take a JSON file, set a configuration value, change a value, or create new Excel files. All that is quite easy with PowerShell. And PowerShell can also start JavaScript scripts like Node.js scripts, PowerShell. Many people use PowerShell as an alternative. So if you so RoboJS is more time consuming because you have to wait for an icon to be clicked, wait for the color to appear, then type in some key commands. Instead, try your best to find out if you can do it by using PowerShell. Same goes with Linux, where you can run shell commands and you can invoke any other programming languages from the shell. Generally, with respect to automation of build tasks, you would use something called as a Jenkins pipeline. And Jenkins pipeline is somewhere where you write Groovy scripts. Let's get to Jenkins pipeline at a later stage, but let's talk about certain tools for a specific automation scenario. Imagine you have a scenario where you receive an email. So what you could do is you could forward it to a MailHawk server. So MailHawk is a utility that makes an email inbox available to you without using username passwords. Of course, you should not expose it to the end user. And it exposes REST API, which you can inquire whether new mail has come. And then you can do some instructions based on it. You can even deploy to Docker. And then you can do stuff on it, like create. So automatically, as soon as a mail comes, you can create a request ID in your ticket tracking system, create a new Jira item, assign it to a developer, and reply back with an email to the customer stating that your request ID has been generated. Or what you also can do is you can use APIs like Twilio, T-W-I-L-I-O, to automatically send a text message to the user stating that, of course, that is charged. It's not free of cost. The other services that I mentioned before this are free of cost. You can send them a message or a WhatsApp message. And even if suppose the other person is a field worker, and if you want to, send a phone call, Twilio is a very good alternative for it. You can even write a text message and it will be conveyed to the other person like a phone call. Of course, it charges a few cents, like a cent or two per call or per message, depending on the country you're trying to call. And you can even use some alternative systems like MSG91 for India, and every country has their own messaging API. Most of the popular countries have their own messaging API. But of course, if you want to just invest in one solution, you can use Twilio. And then sometimes what happens is you need to detect faces from an image and report to someone about an entry, log into attendance. Sometimes you may need to convey things like, so suppose even for the voice messaging scenario, the opposite person is used to French, but you have everything English in your server. So you can use Microsoft Cognitive Services to there is a Bing Translate service available in Microsoft Cognitive Suite. So if you go to azure.microsoft.com, they have cognitive services for vision, for speech, for searching, for abnormality detection. If suppose you report temperature values from Adreno to your system and it tries to find, and you, if you want to search for abnormalities, you can definitely hook it to Microsoft Cognitive Services. Even if suppose you receive voice instructions from a customer who wants to place a trade, you can use their NLP, the natural language processing, to they have Cognitive Services has a natural language recognition thing where it converts it to it converts whatever human has said to something that is text, like plain text or UTF text or ASCII text, depending on how you like it. Now, your system is not that flexible that it can understand natural text as is. You may need to use something like LUI, Microsoft Language Understanding Interface, even it's very popularly used within the bot frameworks. Like every major bank has a bot framework with a help window which talks to you and automatically takes you to the right menu item almost. Of course, not with 100% accuracy. So you can also use that in your system to. So what is NLP in basic terms is, if suppose you say something like book a trade, or some other customer may say something like, can you please sell? Or if some other customer says something like, can you please orchestrate a purchase? So these are different ways in which a human can talk, and you have to just convert it to one instruction called, it's called an intent, to one intent called as buy stock. So your system only understands buy stock. So you can use this cognitive services or LUI, Microsoft Language Understanding Interface, to convert a big human text to one small intent like get stock, and then you can do your, what you can do is you can call the MSN API, Yahoo Finance API, and get the current quote and then feed it into a system. And if suppose you want to make Excel as your output, in .NET you have access to NPY library, or you also have access to XLSX JX, or X that is available in JavaScript, and you have access to even the open XML library of Microsoft to write Excel. It's not very difficult to write Excel, and even NPM packages have a lot of Excel writing libraries like XLS to JSON, or JSON to XLSX are there in the NPM. I'll write it in the show notes. I'll also give you a link to cognitive APIs to do that kind of automation. And even you can use system.net libraries to send an email if you know the API, if you know the SMTP server and the details. And you can easily hook it to any of the well-known APIs to initiate the call. Even Twitter has an API, Facebook has an API. Of course, they are all rate limited, because if you want a business license, you can always talk to them. And even if you end up using a popular a cloud provider like AWS or Azure, they all have a command line alternative. Like there is an Azure CLI. And if you don't have an Azure or AWS instance, you just have a Windows, it's best to run your pipeline. Like after your development is done, you need to actually be having a pipeline. So a very popular way to, as I had mentioned before, a very popular way to compose a pipeline is using Jenkins pipeline syntax. So what is a pipeline is nothing but you have something like clean your code, get the latest from GitHub, run your tests, build the project, publish an archive or a WAR file, or something like IIS virtual folder, and push it to web job or IIS or Tomcat, and send an email to the user, update Jenkins stating that you know it has been deployed. So you can use the Jenkins pipeline syntax. Most of the instructions are in Groovy, but if you are not that comfortable with Groovy, within Groovy you can call Java libraries or Java commands if you're more comfortable with Java. And similarly in the .NET side of things, in PowerShell, if you're not comfortable with PowerShell scripts, you can always go back to C# within PowerShell scripts. And try your best not to enforce a particular technology on your team, because if suppose you've hired a Java guy, it's best to make him do stuff on Java. Even if you want to make mobile apps, I think every platform has compatibility with different programming languages. Like for example, PHP developer versus JavaScript developer. So it's easier to make JavaScript or front-end developers write Node.js code rather than asking them to write C# code. Of course, you can't go wild with having too many technologies. There is a balance you must maintain. And I think if you want to, Jenkins files should not be ultimate. Sometimes most of the frameworks come with, like for example, if you're composing React applications, it's best to have something called as Webpack. Webpack that can, you know, do things which like minify your files, strip out the dependencies you're not using, then maybe strip out certain libraries that you're not using, then package it into a dist folder and convert TypeScript to JavaScript or something that is not Chrome friendly, but you want it to be run in IE, then you can put polyfills through Webpack. And there is a very good article on Webpack in their docs page. Sean Michael has written a book on automation or automating with Node.js. RoboJS is free and Protractor is used for end-to-end test for Angular, and Protractor can also not only do testing for Angular but also, you know, do some clicking on the web elements and doing stuff for you, calling Node.js API. Some people have legacy systems where Webpack is not compatible. You can also use things like Grunt. And it's best to, you know, use one particular programming language for everything. Like if you want to write desktops app, you can write using JavaScript, using Electron.js, and some of the libraries, for example, math utilities, finance utilities that you've written could be reused in Node.js Express server. And you could reuse your logic in the front end by converting into NPM packages. Docker is very good for the orchestration of your infrastructure. For example, if you want 4 machines running and you want to have a minimum SLA that, okay, the user must be responded within 10 seconds. If the load increases, it can add few more machines to it. You can use Kubernetes to simplify your Docker orchestration. So what is Docker? Docker is one way where you can make your infrastructure be written as a code along with your software being written as a code. So Kubernetes is for helping your infrastructure, and Docker is for making your applications be more machine friendly, so you can package your applications in a way. For example, in a Docker, you would write instructions like run your particular build and compose it into one single container where no other apps can interfere, and it will give it your own volume, it will give it its own network IP port so that, you know, your other applications do not interfere with the same port numbers. And it gives like a non-interfering container, in the sense everything is independent from the rest of the system. So like allocating a very small subset of your entire system resources to a very small container without putting your OS into it, like a virtual machine gives an entire OS within it. So it does not add that extra operating system which will occupy a bit of your RAM and your storage space. So Docker is more cheaper than virtual machines, but if you still have virtual machines, you can automate it by Ansible. And there is also Chef and Puppet that can help you to automate your infrastructure. And a lot of tools, even if they don't have API, you can automate it by using browser automation tasks. So everything can be automated. For example, getting events from your IoT devices, like your temperature sensor, humidity sensor, can be pumped into Azure IoT Hub. and then you can use the event framework to trigger jobs. You can have task schedulers or web jobs within Azure to trigger jobs at a specific time, or even Jenkins if you have your own machine. You can also use things that are built into NPM ecosystem, like RoboJS, Protractor, Selenium, Puppeteer. There are APIs available for Twilio for making phone calls, SMS. You could use WhatsApp Business API if you feel like sending WhatsApp messages, but even Twilio can also do it. You can use Cognitive Services for voice translation, image recognition, video recognition, and Electron for desktop related work. ExpressJS is a very good framework for having a REST pipeline. Jira can also be automated. Finance Quotes, most of them expose the API. So this is automation the pocket friendly way. And if you feel you're doing a task again and again, think about it, automate it. You have everything available to you almost at a free of cost. Only you need to pay for some infrastructure like your own laptop or maybe one virtual machine running in the cloud. Study on PowerShell, study on Node.js, study on Jenkins. These courses are available on Pluralsight as well as YouTube, and even most of them have a GitHub page. The GitHub will have some getting started or wiki page to get stuff done. Also look at some new upcoming projects like Nightwatch. And Webpack has a lot of, the community has contributed to Webpack plugins. So take a look at those to try not to do something that has already been made, and get started with automation, and wish you the very best. This is me, Karan Bhandari, signing off. I could be found on my Twitter handle at KURTZACE or linkedin.com/IN/KURTZACE. Or you can email me kurtzace@aol.com, kurtzace@aol.com. That's it from me.